Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performances drop?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Thank you very much to each and every one of you who has been buying my novel, The Sweetest Taboo. I know it has distracted you from so many things, but that is for a good reason, right? And for those of you who haven't, get to your nearest bookstore and find true happiness. Now then, with its 400 ministers and hundreds of idle deputies, the so-called government of national unity marked 100 days of existence. If the GNU was a car, it would be a terrible model with different parts not working in harmony. It would be a luxury car, but that comes with wind-down windows and a removable radio and CD player. Only the ANC celebrated this milestone. You would have thought that parties like the Democratic Alliance, who up until now were in the shadows with their shadow ministries, would have leapt at the opportunity of 100 days of blue lights, lots of travel, and national headlines. Not even the one-man Pan-Africanist Congress was out there shouting, "One cadre, one office." How shameful and thankless these folks can be. You know, it is bad when on the eve of the ANC celebrating a milestone, questionable as this one might be, the party's own ally, the South African Communist Party, all with its 17 members and a Twitter account, joined a march to denounce the ANC. At least one man who is grateful for the GNU is Sports and Culture Minister Gayton McKenzie. Ach, man. He has made it no secret that he is enjoying his time and in his role, and he keeps dancing for his supper rather. And I think that's the right thing to do.
You are a leader with leaders. And those ones that think I can betray you, you have hired me in spite of people saying you can never make McKenzie a minister. Today, you can call me bandit, but you must say honorable. Honorable. You can call me names. Markikeni. Can we all rise to our feet and welcome Sir the Drew Matamela. How now, Othwala Lewena. Ramaphosa.
It's a wonder why McKenzie did not attend the 100 days of GNU celebrations. I'm sure something else came up. On some street corner somewhere, clearly a sign that the better life for all is even escaping the ruling party, President Cyril Ramaphosa was seen speaking on a dark lit stage to a less than enthusiastic crowd.
And today, in 2024, the ANC was called upon to provide leadership. And we have provided the leadership and invited all other parties to be part of a government of national unity. That is what the ANC has done, to give leadership.
Of all its unintended consequences, the worst has to be how the government of unity has disunited the already limping ANC. It all started when the Gauteng ANC could not get into bed with the DA, and instead chose other smaller parties to form its own government of provincial unity. It is not secret that the national office is not exactly the happiest that Panyaza Lesufi and his executive did not take the cue from Luthuli House. Ever since, insults have been hurled between Lesufi and DA boss Helen Zille, the latter battling to accept rejection. Zille has since made Lesufi her sole project, almost like her own Nasi Spani. Hell hath no fury. But the ANC and the DA bickering is okay. It is the badly held secret of the war between Lesufi and ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula that has sent the clearest message out there. The GNU is the moment of disunity for the ANC. The attempt to unite the country seems to be dividing the already wounded ANC. But far from the ridicule, shock, laughter, and banter, is there something to celebrate about the past 100 days of the GNU? Well, I've asked my colleague and digital political editor of Times Live and Sunday Times, Lisa Gatandwa, to help us look at this not-so-uniting matter. Now, warning. At the end of this chat, Lizeka may just assume a new surname like Zondwa, you know, from Tandwa, as you can get it. Molo.
Molo, Tarems, how are you?
Dipilengo,
Sukunjan. I'm good, thank you.
What's happening? Why is there one party celebrating this 100 years? In fact, none of us is, right? It's the only people who are celebrating is the ANC.
I want to correct you there. The DA did, in fact,
They did.
It was muted.
They,
not as loud as... Well, they didn't have a street bash.
Okay.
They celebrated it in a DA way, in that they invited some of us in the media. We had drinks and snacks, and we interacted with some of their ministers in government currently. And obviously, the leader of the DA spoke about their own reasons for entering into this GNU, and obviously taking, much like Cyril Ramaphosa, taking claim of the successes, open and close brackets of this GNU in these 100 days. And everyone seems to say that they've seen an upshot in terms of the economy, how the economy is performing. And everyone seems to be taking credit for that. It seems to be taking credit for investor confidence, which they're saying that we're seeing. And we must always be mindful when Cyril Ramaphosa talks about investor confidence. Not so long ago, he was talking about the trillions that were going to come into the country before this GNU.
Yes.
And we're still yet to see these trillions.
Yeah.
So both these political parties have been trying to take credit for how it's made South Africa reimagine politics, as it were. The racial divide is now slowly being, the bridge between black and white, the gap is slowly being, there's an achievement in terms of that. I forget the word.
Is that real? Or imagined.
Okay. I mean, in 100 days, it's
right?
Unrealistic. And I was speaking to the editor of Sunday Times, Stem Somi, who was saying that this concept of 100 days is something that was started in America by a president in America. And everyone seemed to have adopted it. But really, it's really, you can't expect to see a realization of productivity in 100 days.
It's 3 months plus seven days or something like that. Right?
Yes. And if you look at it, for instance, I sat down with Sihle Zikalala just a few weeks ago when we were talking about him being demoted.
Yeah.
This man who's got a master's degree being demoted for Dean McPherson, who doesn't have that much of a qualification by his side. And he was saying that they were still implementing the sixth administration's programs because we still don't have a budget. The Minister of Finance hasn't really given us a framework of what exactly is going to happen in the seventh administration.
Yes.
So it really is programs. So
they're still functioning on the old budget.
They're still functioning on the old budget. They're still functioning.
And now they are bloated. I mean,
And now they're bloated. It's crazy. Now they're bloated, and seemingly and interestingly enough, no one reflected on that on the bloated cabinet.
Yes.
Both the DA and the ANC.
Of course, food.
Yes,
it works for them, right?
We're all eating now.
Mancho is not talking about it either.
No,
or even General Holomisa is not talking about it.
No one. I mean, of all the yes, of all the 10 parties, no one has reflected. But interestingly, what you have said in your intro is that all these parties who are in this GNU, outside of the DA and the ANC, and we have to take into account what Helen Zille has been saying about this being a coalition of two parties.
Yeah.
Outside of the ANC and the DA, no one is really taking ownership of the GNU. And that is going to be a problem for all the other parties. The IFP, for instance, is a party which I would have assumed would have said something around the GNU, taken some ownership of the GNU. You know, they have a minister and that's a critical portfolio. Kokta is a critical portfolio.
Well, he's recently rejected appointments of, you know, advisors and stuff. Maybe that's like, you know, that's where my power gets in.
that is Prince Mzamo.
Yes.
And outside of them having a stake in the GNU, they also have
the
province,
right? Yeah,
and they're not leveraging on that. They're not using that.
You're the political editor and kind of analyst, but let me tell you why I think that is happening. Along with these guys lived for 50 years, been led by one person. They're still trying to find their own voices inside the party as IFP. Mm. They were not used to speaking.
Mm.
The guy can't speak from the grave, right? So they. If it were him, by now we would be knowing a lot of stuff. Mm. So they're still trying to learn to speak.
Okay, so we're far ahead of them.
Let's
give them time to catch up.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so in terms of what President Cyril Ramaphosa said, I'm sure you were listening. It almost felt like you were at the State of the Nation,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
It wasn't really a political speech.
Yes.
It was more of a government
speech. A national speech.
But in an ANC platform.
Exactly.
And
that is why the responses were so muted, because I think the members were lost.
Mm.
You're not talking to us as Amakavan.
Mm.
Yes.
And you could see that, you know, the rupture, as it were, was when Ufikile was speaking, because,
yes,
you know, Razmataz was doing Razmatazi things. But with John Steenhuisen, it was interesting the priorities that he marked. He said that they want a clear commitment to reducing government debt to GDP to under 70%. In the seventh administration, he talked about driving investment in terms of growth and job creation, and he believes that this will be done under the phase two of Vulindlela. He talked about digitizing home affairs, expanding access to cheap, reliable broadband, focusing on infrastructure, South Africa. And now, what was interesting to me was the non-negotiables.
Mm.
The non-negotiables being the Bella Bill. We've all been talking about the Bella Bill, Clause 4 and 5, and SOEs, which is quite interesting to me for someone who is in government to say, you know, we don't want government rescuing SOEs anymore.
Mm.
So those monies, the 350 billion that has been invested by government to SOEs, that must stop. I'm not sure how that's going to happen. And then there's the National Health Insurance. They still are saying that as it stands, as the NHI bill as it is now, is not going to fly with them. And then the EFF's own bill in Parliament, the private members bill, which speaks to the nationalization of the Reserve Bank. That's a problem for them.
Yeah.
And what we know is that the ANC's resolution around nationalization, which is something I imagine will be discussed next year when the ANC has its midterms.
Yeah.
So as you're saying, Brahams, it is a car which is operating.
It's so complicated, this thing. Like, they're speaking parallel to one another. But they seem both in it, right? Because I think, and you'll tell me, I mean, who's likely to lose most if they walked out of this?
Well, if today, I would say the DA is likely to lose more.
So they need to be inside
that room. They need to be inside that room. They've committed to this.
Yeah.
And I mean,
they're so committed that Steenhuisen could even go to China. as his very trip, first trip.
And I even asked him about that during that very same celebration of the GNU, about him going to China. Now, for those who don't know, the DA has had a policy in terms of its foreign policy, believes that Taiwan deserves its independence, whereas the ANC believes in a one-China state.
One-China policy, yeah.
Yeah, so that's part and parcel of, you know, the DA doesn't believe in communism. We all know that China is led by a communist party, and it's majority. It's the only party which exists in China. And then there's BRICS as well. I asked him about BRICS. Russia is hosting BRICS. Yeah. Putin is hosting BRICS. Yeah. Will you remember John Stiernazen?
Was going to arrest him, actually. Sometimes.
Flying all the way to Ukraine.
Exactly.
And claiming that he's going to arrest him in Western Cape, should he land in Western Cape. Now it's a different tune now. No, if I have to go to every country, I will go to any country to assist my country, to develop my country. So you can see.
I feel like these guys are showing us a picture of a G-Wagon, when in reality it's a venture. You know, this is what the GNU is about.
Kwakwo venture ekhaya. There was a venture ekhaya, so tread lightly.
But am I right in my assessment that the GNU has disunited the ANC?
I think to a certain extent. I think the Banyazas of the world, there will be an anti-GNU stance.
Yeah.
And Banyaza will be used as a proxy for that anti-GNU position. The RET that is emerging right now is the anti-GNU.
Yes.
And we'll see that playing out clearly when the ANC goes to its midterm policy review next year. That is obviously when you know better than I, you have lived for longer than I, you know better than that. That is a time where the ANC's leadership starts to figure out who is going to emerge, who replaces Cyril, who succeeds Cyril.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting what happens. And we can't take it for granted what the position of the SACP. And COSATU wasn't there. We forget that. COSATU wasn't there as well.
Yeah.
We can't take for granted those powerful 17 members as they have.
Plus Twitter.
Plus Twitter. They do wield influence within the ANC. Mm. And we've seen that influence in the times of Jacob Zuma, the SACP and COSATU. They might not be as powerful as they were at that time, more especially COSATU.
Yeah.
But I do think we can't take that and ignore the position that they hold. And I imagine that the Soli Mabailas of the world are lobbying from within the ANC. And it will be interesting how it plays out in the months to come.
Is this a party war, or is this just a war between Banyaza and Bucks?
I think it's forming as at this point it's
because clearly they're both vying for the deputy presidency.
Or
they
president.
Are. They may lie about it, but both of them are eyeing that position, right?
They definitely want to go to the union buildings. In terms of what position, I'm not sure what is more viable. I think it will depend on whether Paul Mashatile gets arrested, as many people are alluding to, that all these investigations against Paul might happen and shape up into something.
Just stay away from poisoned water.
But... if that does happen, I think we'd see Banyaza and Fikile Mbalula vying for that top position. At this moment, it seems like a Luthuli House versus Gauteng PC.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we can say it's an ANC internal strife. Because I think most of them, if I would have expected someone to stand up and say, I don't want this, it would have been Gwede Mantashe, who is still wields power within the ANC. He was vehemently against going into a coalition with the DA.
The DA.
At the doors of the results center, when we spoke to him, he did not want it. He was still entertaining a possible coalition, minority coalition with the EFF and the IFP. That was what his priority, that was his primal vision in terms of going into coalitions after the elections. And for someone like him to have folded, I think it means something about how Cyril has really done great negotiating within the party. And for the NEC as well, that came after, that decided on a GNU, there were a lot of people who were speaking out, we're not going to support this, you know, the radicals, the young ones in the NEC. But they towed the line as soon as Cyril kind of made those proposals and advanced his view. I think most within the party saw that in the reality is that the pie is getting smaller and smaller.
Indeed it is. And you see, the question is, well, maybe the assertion more than a question is, the ANC needs to stay in the GNU for people to stay in office, right? Mm. Because if they didn't, the truth is that the ANC is not what the ANC was in 1994. Mm. Already they, you know, half of the people who are in cabinet and in positions are gone because they have to hold on to this. Now, where does Panyanza get his power from? I'm trying to think, what is this thing about his latest bravado?
He's a populist. He's a populist.
Well, Mbax is too.
Mbax is too. I think Panyanza is someone that he projects is like leading up to the elections, where I think a lot of his comrades inside the ANC within Gauteng really thought that they assisted the ANC to be able to get to that position where they had 30%.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they could have seen much more of a disaster than they have now. Panyanza is someone who has, what I know about him and the little that I do know about him is someone that is very aligned to the Angie Motshekga's of the ANC, a very powerful lady in the ANC Women's League. Powerful, clearly still powerful in the A party as well, for him, for her to be afforded a position as the defense
comes
minister.
With a very strong constituency.
Yes, very strong. Even though Panyanza didn't win comfortably the elective conference in 2022 as the chairperson, he somehow turned things around. It was the Mayile, Lebohang Mayile faction that won in terms of the provincial executive committee. But somehow he turned things around, turned people like TK Nginza to his side. Yeah. And now they are working together, very united as it seems. And I think that has been attractive to some people within the party outside of Gauteng. And I think some people want to emulate that. I'm not sure, but you question that. But, you know, speaking to some leaders, for instance, in KZN, the anti-GNU, and he, that position of, you know, daring, being defiant against Helen, because there are people who think that, you know, the posture that Helen Ziller took during negotiations, it really offended some of the leaders in the party. And him being defiant and pushing back against Helena, I think that was something that was attractive to some political
I would have thought
leaders.
The anti-GNU people in KZN are all MKP now.
We have that, but there's still a constituency of the ANC within. Yeah. And if you look at, for instance, how the MK party has been faring in these by-elections, it's telling you that the MK party has a lot to do in terms of making sure that the people that voted for them continue to vote for them in the 2026 elections. I think it will be interesting to see how it fares in the 2026 elections. And with the changes that have been made and the consistent back and forth legal court battles, and then seemingly that MK party is being ran in Gandla, I'm not sure that people will identify and it will resonate with most people in KZN.
Well, at least they have finally, you know, finalized the constitution that protects one man. But let's move on. Will the GNU finish its first term? Well, this is the term. I don't even sure I should call it first term. It's term.
I hope so. I hope so in terms of stability. I am not sure. And I say this because I am not sure if the president will finish his term. I do hope that because we need some level of stability for these 5 years. And if the GNU can provide that, I'm happy as a South African. But with what is happening within the ANC, with the president having a penchant to resign, I'm not sure that he is going to finish his term. And I think that the GNU, in terms of the DA and its participation with the GNU, in the GNU, goes hand in hand with Cyril Ramaphosa finishing his term.
So the DA needs Cyril to be in there for them to stay in the GNU.
Well, it's been very clear until now that they've been saying it publicly that they don't see themselves working with an ANC that is led by Paul Mashatile.
I was about to ask you, where does he stand on the GNU?
Well,
if he stands long enough.
If he manages to stand long enough. Well, we spoke to him at that celebration, the bash. We call it a bash.
Yes.
It was a strict bash.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a party, 40% party, really? Celebrating? We see things. This is South Africa. But in any case, he seems to think that it will stand the test of time. When we asked him about the DA's reservations around him, he seems to think that that has been resolved. He may think that, but we hadn't asked that of the DA. I imagine that the DA would be singing a different tune to what he's saying. I think he was apprehensive to join a GNU which encompassed the DA. I think he's got his own interests in Gauteng, like many of the leadership that comes from Gauteng.
Yeah.
And his interests were aligned with the EFF. And unfortunately, that was not the majority within the party. They didn't feel that way. And I think that he's got his own troubles. And I think his main focus is on his personal troubles.
By the end of January, it would be 200 days of the GNU. Will things still look rosy?
Yo. I mean, tomorrow things may not look rosy. You'll speak to Helen tomorrow and she'll tell you something else. I'm not sure. I that's a question I cannot answer. But what I can tell you is that these turbulent times ahead. We are operating in a flight that has massive wind blowing towards it. And it will be interesting how Cyril Ramaphosa's negotiation, I think this is when we test how good a negotiator Cyril has been and was, as he has been lauded. Cyril will need to balance his political party and the personalities in his political party, i.e. the Banyazas and the Fikile Mbalulas, whom I think he really put him in his place during the GNU celebrations, and then manage the personalities of Helen Zille. Interestingly enough, his relationship with John Steenhuisen, I think, has been fairly cooperative. His biggest problem, his biggest headache, has been the Secretary General of the party, who is Helen Zille,
the boss of the party,
yes. The matriarch of the party.
Could that dynamic be the fact that him and John sit in cabinet together, so they spend more time together than he gets to spend more time with Helen?
Precisely.
Thankfully.
Precisely. Yeah, right. Yeah, precisely. I think that is it. And I think we also need to look at the dynamics between John and Helen as well. Because while John is trying to build this relationship with the ANC in terms of government, Helen is, making sure that the walls are breaking at every turn.
If we're to use the metaphor of marriage, somehow John Steenhuisen comes across as a guy who just got married to this girl, but he still listens to his mother every day to how he must live in this marriage. He doesn't seem to be the guy in this marriage. Yet, on the other side, the ANC seems to be in a marriage with a woman they truly hate, but they're thinking, if I don't have this woman in the house, I'm not going to survive.
It's all
going to
fall apart.
Yeah.
That's precisely it, right? That is it. John and Cyril are caught between a rock and a hard place with a Helen Zille and their own political parties.
Yes.
But if they are mature enough, I think they can withstand that the Helen Zille storm.
As I said, Aziz Zalankomo. Listen, I pray that was our time continuously after this. But thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights. I am so saddened that I have not used you enough, but watch this space.
Ngosi.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I do better than satire and sarcasm. Remember to buy and read my new book, The Switcher's Taboo, available at your nearest bookstore. From me, Rams Mabote, goodbye and God bless.